After 6 episodes and a whole lot of research, label reading, and kitchen experiments, we finally share our own healthy eating plan.
And we did not land on the exact same thing. And honestly, that's kind of the point.
You don't need the perfect or super specific diet. You need something that actually fits your real life, your budget, your energy, without turning every meal into a mouth problem.
So today we're going to show you what we chose, how we got there, and how we can build something that actually works in the real world, not just on Instagram.
Welcome to Current Thoughts. I'm your host, Jay, alongside my beautiful wife and co-host, Dee. And this podcast is where we have in-depth conversations about topics that matter to us, and hopefully to you too. So this show shares our personal experiences and general information. We're not doctors, and this is not medical advice.
Diets that cut food groups aren't right for everyone and can affect cholesterol, blood sugar, digestion, and medications.
So talk with your doctors before making any changes.
Use today's episode as ideas to discuss with your doctor.
Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 7, the finale in our Eating Healthy series.
Over the last 6 episodes, we've talked about why eating healthy in the U.S. is so hard. We've talked through whole foods, low carb, and keto, carnivore and animal-based, vegan and plant-based, and the Mediterranean and the Blue Zone diets.
Today, we're tying the whole series together with what we chose, how we made those decisions, and how you can build a plan that works for your life. Even as prices go up, labels get confusing, and you're trying to avoid mystery ingredients.
We'll talk about the factors we considered, like health, labs, schedule, travel, budget, mental health, all of it.
We'll also talk about using diets as tools for short-term goals, not as your personality. And then we'll wrap up with some very practical tips: budget-friendly healthy eating, when organic matters, and why we're breaking up with plastics and Teflon as much as we can.
So if you've been listening and thinking, okay, but where do I start? This is your episode.
So let's give you some context and then we'll get into what we're actually doing. All right, so a quick recap of where we've been in this series, so this episode makes sense if you're just dropping in.
Episode 1 was why eating healthy in the U.S. is so hard. That was our "You're not crazy, the system is" episode. Ultra-processed food everywhere, conflicting advice, and a food environment that makes the unhealthy choice the easy choice.
Episode 2 was whole food basics. That was our "If your grandmother recognizes the food, you're probably good" episode. We talk about building meals around protein, fiber, healthy fats, and minimally processed foods.
Episode 3, we went into low carb and keto. We talked about appetite control, blood sugar benefits, and why low carb can feel really good for a lot of people, but also how it can be pretty restrictive long-term for some lifestyles.
Then in episode 4, we talked about carnivore and animal-based diets. That one is like the extreme elimination tool. Very simple, very meat-forward. It can help some people figure out trigger foods fast, but it's also very narrow and not something for most people to do forever.
So in episode 5, it was our vegan and plant-based diet. We covered ethical and environmental reasons people choose it, all that fiber and micronutrients, but also the need to pay attention to protein, B12, iron, and not just live on vegan junk food.
And episode 6 was Mediterranean Blue Zone diets. That's your plant first, olive oil, fish, beans, nuts, and eat with people you love lifestyle. It's backed by a lot of research, and it's not just food. It's movement, stress, and community.
So we've walked through all these lanes, not to tell you there's one right answer, but to give you a menu of options.
And that's the big fact we want you to remember. There's no one single best diet for every human.
What we do see across most successful healthy diets are some shared habits: more whole foods, fewer ultra-processed foods, more fiber, which means more veggies, fruit, beans, and whole grains if you can tolerate them, less sugar, and fewer ultra-processed snacks, and reasonable protein and healthy fats.
The right plan is the one you can actually live with for years, not just 30 days. If you're constantly miserable or obsessed on a particular plan, that's a sign something needs adjusting.
The second big fact is experiments are better than identities.
Yeah, not I am keto or I am vegan. Instead, think, this is my starting lane right now. These are my base habits no matter what. And sometimes I'll run a diet sprint for a specific goal.
So let's explain what we mean with those terms so there is no confusion as we use them throughout the rest of the episode.
So first, starting lane. The starting lane is just the style you're going to test for the next 30 to 60 days. Maybe that's Mediterranean leaning, low carb, more plant heavy, or high protein, whole foods.
Base habits are the non-negotiables that stay the same no matter what lane you're in. Things like no soda, cooking more at home, and always having protein at breakfast.
And a diet sprint is a short-term, more focused push for a specific goal. So like 6 weeks of a stricter low carb for weight loss, or a couple of weeks of elimination to figure out what's bothering your stomach.
Once you think of it like that, it's way less about joining a specific diet team and way more about running experiments to see what works for you.
So with that framework, let's talk about how we actually chose our plans. So when we sat down and asked, okay, what are we actually going to do? We didn't just say, that one sounds cool. We used a kind of mental checklist that you can use too.
First one, health and labs. Things like blood pressure, A1C, cholesterol, weight, joint pain, energy, and digestion.
We looked at our own numbers, how we'd been feeling, family history, and anything a doctor had already mentioned.
If you're listening and you've got a doctor telling you, hey, we need to watch your blood sugar or your cholesterol is creeping up, that's information you want to factor in.
Next, we looked at our lifestyle and schedule. We're traveling, eating on the road, sometimes at other people's homes, sometimes at random places where your options are gas station snacks or fast food.
And we had to be honest about how often we really cook versus grab and go. Not the fantasy version of ourselves, the real us.
Then there's food preferences and non-negotiables. What do you genuinely enjoy and don't want to give up forever?
Like, if you love coffee, or you want dessert sometimes, or you really enjoy meat and cheese, that matters. You can push yourself a little, but if you're constantly grieving your food, that's not sustainable.
We literally said, where are we flexible and where is a hard no? And that helped a lot.
Next, we'll look at budget and food prices. Food has gotten expensive and we feel that too.
So we talked about where we're willing to spend more on quality, like better oils, decent protein, some produce, and where we're okay going cheaper, like store brands for basics.
For some people, values and ethics matter a lot. Animal welfare, environment, buying local, and reducing waste.
Even if that's not the main driver, it might be part of your decision. Maybe you do mostly animal-based, but choose better sources when you can. Or you lean more plant-heavy because that lines up with your values.
And this next one is huge. Mental health and your relationship with food.
If you've had a history with yo-yo dieting, binge restrict cycles, or guilt and shame around food, that really matters. Some people do better with clear rules. Some people need more flexibility to not spiral.
We both wanted a way of eating that supports our bodies and doesn't make us weird around food.
So with all that in mind, let's talk about what you chose. So when did you start thinking about eating healthier, and what factors did you consider in making that change?
So for me, in the beginning of 2015, I was drinking a gallon of milk a week and suffered from aching joints and stiffness. I had always drank milk, and it was my staple. But as the pain set in, I had been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease called mixed connective tissue disease. I was on meds from the end of 2015 to the beginning of 2016, but my symptoms were getting worse, which scared me because my legs were my biggest issue. The tingling and pain got so bad that it was preventing me from walking. I was laying in bed one night researching the disease, and I found a book called The Immune System Recovery Plan by Susan Bloom. I started reading it right away, and I finished the book and started my change immediately. I did a food elimination diet. I had great results right away, and the pain and the tingling in my legs went away after the first week of this 3-week change. I slowly introduced certain foods back into my diet, and I felt better than I had in a long time. Milk was the hardest thing to give up, but once I started feeling better, it was hard to miss. I made a vow to myself to be mindful of food that makes me feel negative in any way.
All right, so walk us through your plan. So what's your core style right now?
So for me, basically, I went through the elimination phase. I wanted to figure out what foods were causing issues, low energy, tingling, pain, not feeling great, etc. I educated myself on bad ingredients, things like certain inflammatory oils and ultra-processed junk. And now I'm that person standing in the aisle reading the labels. So my core style now is a more whole food diet with limited inflammatory oils and a lot more awareness of ingredients.
So what would you say are your key rules or defaults?
A few big ones for me is that I've eliminated soda and high sugar drinks, and I'm mainly drinking water. I aim for whole foods when possible, and I read labels to avoid foods with ingredients I don't want, especially certain oils and long chemicals sounding lists. I limit dairy and high carb foods, so I'm not anti-carb, but I'm more selective. I'm intentionally adding more protein, including protein shakes to help me hit my goals. I supplement with creatine and collagen because I want to support muscle, joints, and recovery. And when I want sweets or desserts, I make my own healthier versions at home instead of grabbing whatever's in the bakery case.
So why do you feel like this works for your personality?
Well, I like structure, but I don't want to feel trapped. So I'm having some clear, no thanks ingredients, and a few simple rules give me guardrails, but I still have flexibility. It also lines up with how my cravings work. If I stay on top of protein and I don't drink my sugar, I feel way more stable.
And what did you not choose?
I didn't go full keto because for me, it felt a little too rigid for long term, especially with travel and social situations. I like some fruit and I want some flexibility with carbs. I also didn't go full vegan because I generally feel good eating animal protein and it would be stressful for me to manage all of that on the road. So I took pieces that make sense and left the extremes. Okay, Jay, so it's your turn. So when did you start thinking about eating healthier and what factors did you consider in making the change?
Well, I've had a job that required me to travel every week for the past 15 to 20 years. And I found myself overweight, having less energy and more sedentary. Traveling meant eating on the road, which isn't always healthy and sometimes has limited choices. I am tired of being overweight, and at this stage of my life, I am more concerned with longevity than ever before. So it was time to make a change. I wanted to get down to a healthier weight and be more active and focus my diet and lifestyle to live longer so I can enjoy more as I get older.
So what's your core style?
Well, mine is a high protein, low carb, sometimes no carb, whole food style diet. That's what makes my body and brain the happiest. I function better with steady energy and fewer big blood sugar swings. So leaning high protein and low carb fits me.
So what are your key rules and defaults?
While I focus on whole foods that are high in protein and low in carbs, I eliminate bad inflammatory oils as much as possible. So I'm paying attention to what oils are in my dressings, sauces, and packaged foods. I'm also adding creatine and collagen as supplements like you. I'm eating more fermented foods such as yogurt, sauerkraut, and things that support my... I'm eating more fermented foods such as yogurt and sauerkraut, things that support gut health, and I'm limiting sugar and using better alternative sweeteners when I do have something sweet, things like honey, pure maple syrup, or coconut sugar. And I have a better plan to be more prepared to eat healthier and make better choices when on the road traveling.
So why does that fit your energy and lifestyle?
Well, when I eat this way, my energy is more even. My mood is better, and I don't feel like I'm fighting cravings all day. It also fits how we travel. I can usually find some kind of protein and veggie combo almost anywhere. And if not, plan ahead and pick up some food and snacks from a grocery store while traveling.
And what did you intentionally leave off the table?
Well, I'm not trying to be hardcore carnivore long term because it would be too restrictive and honestly expensive for the way we live. I'm also not trying to be super strict keto 24/7. Same reason, lifestyle, travel, and social life. I wanted something that feels structured but still livable.
So even though we've picked slightly different lanes, we have some shared rules for our house style.
Yeah, think of these like base habits for our household. So the rules that we have are like no sugary drinks in the house. If we have something sweet, it's not going to be a fridge full of soda. When we are home, we limit eating out and cook most of our meals. This allows us to control the ingredients in meals and make better choices. We aim to eat more veggies, more protein, and less carbs every day. It doesn't have to be fancy, just consistent. And for dessert, our default is something like fruit or plain yogurt with a little honey instead of a store-bought dessert. Or healthier versions of cookies or chocolates that we make ourselves.
So your version will look different, but we really encourage you to sit down and write 3 to 5 house rules that support how you want to feel.
All right, so let's talk about using diets as tools for short-term goals, because that's another piece of this. Sometimes you don't need a whole new identity. You just need a short-term sprint.
Right. Some examples of when that might make sense is if your doctor's telling you we need to quickly get your blood sugar under control or lower your cholesterol, and you need more structured diet to assist with that. Another is if you want to break a junk food habit and you need a clear plan for that. Another is you're trying an elimination diet to figure out digestion, inflammation, or allergy issues. And another one is you've got weight loss goals, and you want to use something like keto or carnivore for a season to get down closer to your ideal weight.
The key word is short term. This means having a planned start and finish, and then back to a more sustainable base.
So here are a few examples of diet sprints you could run. Low carb or keto sprint, maybe 4 to 8 weeks. This type of diet sprint can be really helpful for craving control, weight loss, and blood sugar stability. Also, just be careful as it can feel socially limiting. And when you're done, you'll want to reintroduce carbs slowly, not just go face first into a pizza.
So another one would be plant-heavy or vegan sprint. Again, another 4 to 8 weeks. Eating this type of diet will give you tons of fiber and micronutrients, which can help reset your microbiome and help with digestive issues. It can also help you discover new ways to cook vegetables and beans. But under this type of diet, you will still need protein, and you'll want to pay attention to B12, iron sources, and not just live on vegan cookies.
And then you've got carnivore or strict keto phases for weight loss. Anywhere from 30 days to up to a year if you're doing it carefully and with guidance.
Those really do shift your body to burning more fat instead of carbs for energy. And they can be powerful tools to get down closer to your ideal weight.
But again, we don't see those as permanent lifestyle diets for most people. They're tools, not forever identities.
You also have a whole food reset for 30 days. So that looks something like just cutting ultra-processed stuff and focusing on home-cooked, simple ingredients.
That one is great because you're not signing up for Team Jersey like, I'm keto, I'm vegan. You're just saying, for 30 days, I'm going to eat like a grown-up who cares about themselves.
So how do you run one of these sprints without going nuts?
First, pick one clear goal, not 3, 6, or 12. One, like drop my A1C, or lose 20 to 30 pounds, or kill my soda habit, or fix my snack situation, or eliminate harmful ingredients like high fructose corn syrup.
Then decide the rules on paper. What's in, what's out, and how long? For the next 6 weeks, I'm doing X. I'm not doing Y.
Track just 3 to 5 signals, such as energy levels, sleep, cravings, mood, how your clothes fit, or maybe weight or waist measurements, if that's relevant.
And then plan your exit. How are you going to transition back to your normal diet without swinging into chaos?
Don't just say, my diet's over, so now everything goes. Have a plan. Okay, what habits do I want to keep? And what am I adding back slowly?
All right, so now let's talk about future-proofing your diet. Because the world is not getting cheaper or less toxic anytime soon, especially here in the U.S.
It's honestly frustrating that eating healthy in the U.S. can be more expensive than eating junk.
But the answer isn't, well, I guess I can't do it. Instead, the answer is, let me buy the healthiest I can afford and be strategic.
This is how you can handle price increases without giving up.
So first, prioritize high return foods. There are some real budget heroes out there.
Yeah, like beans, lentils, frozen vegetables, oats, canned fish like sardines and tuna, chicken thighs, eggs, if they're affordable where you are. And these aren't fancy, they're just powerful.
Yeah, try to use meat more as a feature, not always the entire plate. You can stretch it with beans and veggies and grains if you tolerate them.
Next, you'll need a budget shopping strategy. A few strategies we like are buy store brands for basics, choose frozen over fresh when it's cheaper. Frozen veggies and fruits are often just as nutritious. Watch sales for things like olive oil, nuts, and proteins, and stock up when prices dip.
And we personally spend a little more on groceries and cooking at home and less on eating out. That trade-off alone can change your budget and your health.
And another thing is meal templates that stretch the budget. This is a big pot meal is your friend. Soups, stews, chilies, sheet pan meals, etc.
And we like the one expensive, two cheap rule. So for example, if your protein is pricey that night, keep the sides budget friendly. Use something like rice, beans, frozen veggies, potatoes if they work for you.
Another one is choosing organic when it actually matters. Let's talk organic without getting judgy.
First, eating non-organic veggies is still way better than eating no veggies. So don't let perfection stop you.
So if you have some wiggle room in your budget, we focus on foods we eat a lot of and that tend to be heavily sprayed, like strawberries, apples, spinach, peaches, grapes, celery, bell peppers, cherry tomatoes, nectarines, kale and collard greens, cherries, potatoes, blueberries, and regular tomatoes.
I think you meant to say that those are the ones we actually try to pick out organic whenever we can.
Correct.
Yeah, those are more high priority organic options. Again, if your budget allows, though.
So there are also foods that are generally lower priority to buy organic because they're less likely to be heavily contaminated or they have thicker skins, like avocados, sweet corn, fresh or frozen, doesn't matter, pineapple, onions, frozen sweet peas, asparagus, cabbage, cantaloupe, cauliflower, bananas, mangoes, carrots, mushrooms, kiwi, and eggplant.
Yeah, we're not perfect about this. We do what we can. But we also decided that instead of eating out all the time, we'd spend more on groceries we cook at home.
It's really about deciding where you want to spend more and where you're okay going conventional.
And don't forget that you can also make your own healthy alternatives, as these are not only healthier for you, but also much more cost-effective.
So some things we currently are making healthier alternatives for ourselves are yogurt. Jay makes his own plain yogurt in the Instapot. Chocolates. I make healthier chocolate treats with simpler and healthier ingredients like honey instead of sugar or coconut oil to make Jay's dark chocolate. Bone broth. Jay makes his own bone broth in the Instapot. This allows him to control what goes into it, and it's way more cost-effective than buying from the store. Italian breadcrumbs, blending French bread toast or a crostini in a food processor with some Italian seasoning. It isn't saving much money, but you're eliminating bad oils. Mayonnaise. Jay makes his own avocado mayo. We used to buy it, but it was really expensive. Making it is really simple and much more cost-effective. Caramel. I make an organic 3-ingredient caramel sauce that I call liquid gold. Ranch salad dressing cuts down on bad oils and preservatives. French onion dip, just simple ingredients. And a few more items are chicken Alfredo, chicken pasta, ice cream, cake frosting, and banana bread. And we're adding more items all the time.
Another thing we've been changing is what we cook and store our food in.
Yeah, we started learning more about microplastics and forever chemicals, how they can leach into our food over time and certain plastics and old non-stick pans.
Although we can't control everything, we can control what we cook in and store our food in. So we've been slowly making some swaps.
We have been making the shift because for us, when it comes to microplastics and forever chemicals, it's not about panicking. It's more like if I'm doing all this work to eat better, I don't want my pan or container working against me.
So some easy swaps that we've done is with our cookware. We're replacing our old flaky nonstick Teflon pans with stainless steel or cast iron or ceramic. For our storage containers, we're using glass, silicone, and stainless steel. And these are our containers that we store our leftovers in or we store our dry ingredients in. And if we do still use plastic, we avoid microwaving in it at all cost. And one last thing that we've actually been doing more of because we've been drinking a lot more water is with our water bottles, we're making sure that they are no longer plastic, that they are stainless steel. We've even swapped out our straws to stainless steel straws.
This is our real life, and we didn't throw everything out in one day. That would be expensive and stressful.
Yeah, we're just replacing things as they wear out or as we can afford it. One pan at a time, one storage set at a time.
Some things we like so far are glass and stainless steel storage containers, glass baking dishes, and ceramic or cast iron cookware.
So do what you can with what you have at the pace that makes sense for you.
And lastly, there are just a few little micro tweaks that add up. Cook one more meal at home per week than you're doing now. Add one serving of veggies to meals you already love. Choose water first. Make other drinks the special guest, not the default. And keep emergency sane snacks around. Nuts, cheese, fruit, boiled eggs, yogurt, whatever fits your plan.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be dramatic to count. All right, Dee, as we wrap things up, what is your biggest takeaway when it comes to eating healthier?
Well, I think that what surprised me the most is just how much junk is hiding in the normal foods. Once I started reading labels and learning about oils and additives, it was eye-opening. The one habit that made the biggest difference for me was cutting out sugary drinks and milk, focusing on whole foods with better ingredients. My energy feels more steady, I have less swelling, and I just feel more in control. And I'm still experimenting. I'm still figuring out which carbs work best for me. I'm treating it like an ongoing experiment instead of chasing some final perfection in my plan. I have noticed that some of the processed food I used to love just doesn't taste as good, which is kind of strange. Also, I am a picky eater, so it's been challenging, but feeling better is key. What about you?
Well, you and I, we've always had a different way we relate to food. You kind of always have seen it as basically nutrients for your body. Whereas me, kind of the way that I grew up, I've had more of an emotional tie to my food. I'm kind of a foodie. I have learned to use food as something that I enjoy eating. But my mindset about dieting has shifted. I used to think of it as a punishment. Now I see it more as nutrition and fuel for my body. Answering questions like, how do I want to feel? And will this support my goal of living longer? And a lot of this has shifted partly because of you, but also because of just seeing how the food has changed over the years. The same things we used to eat as kids that were perfectly fine, had perfectly good ingredients, have now shifted, and now they have bad ingredients in them. And we see that all the time. But when it comes to changes, the biggest or the easiest change that has paid off big for me was going higher in protein and cutting back on random carbs that weren't doing anything for me. Diets like carnivore or keto changed my energy, focus, and cravings. And if you forget everything else when it comes to eating healthy, I want you to remember this. You don't need the perfect diet. You need a workable starting point that you can tweak as you go. Because things are going to change. You are going to learn more. And it's okay to shift your diet to what works best for you.
All right. So how do you start to make a change to a healthier diet? Step one, start with a goal. Lose weight, lower cholesterol or blood pressure, eliminate bad ingredients from your diet, longevity, breaking bad habits, or just plain eating healthy.
Step two, pick your starting lane. For the next 30 days, that could be a whole food focused, lower carb, more plant-based, Mediterranean leaning, high protein, whatever makes sense for you.
Step three, write down three base rules for your house. Simple things like no soda in the house, protein at breakfast, veggies twice a day.
Step four, choose one budget habit and one toxin-lowering habit to start this week. Maybe your budget habit is buy frozen veggies and beans to stretch meals. And your toxin habit is no more microwaving in plastic.
And we'd love to hear what yours are. So comment and post your three rules and your starting lane.
We'll leave you with this question. What's one change you're willing to commit to for the next 30 days that would make your eating look more like the future you want without making you miserable?
Think about that. Write it down. Share it with someone who can support you.
So thanks for hanging out with us through this whole Eating Healthy series. We hope it gave you ideas, tools, and mostly permission to build something that works for you.
If this series helped you, share it with a friend, leave a review, and come hang out with us on social.
All right, y'all. We'll catch you on the next episode of Current Thoughts.
Take care and eat like you care about yourself.
Well, that's it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed this discussion and found some value in it. We'd love to hear what your thoughts on today's topic are. So drop us a comment and let us know. And if you enjoy our conversations, consider subscribing to the podcast on whatever platform you listen on.
From both of us here at Current Thoughts, thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with another honest conversation. Till then, stay curious, stay open, and stay real.